time again for our feature Language Pet Peeves, where we ask listeners to give us their gripes about the English language. Then we discuss the pet peeves with our resident language expert, Richard Lederer. He joins us now from member station KPBS in San Diego. Hi, Richard.
Hi, bring them on. I would love to hear their concerns.
Well, we've gotten over 1,000 emails on this, and so unfortunately we can't cover them all, but let's start.
Oh, let's do everyone, Lisa.
All Language Radio. Let's start with John Quick of Berkeley. We've got him on the line, and he has kind of a numerical peeve. Hello, John Quick.
Hey, well, my language gripe is misuse of the word decimate. Now, as you know, decimate means to take one in every 10 or reduce by one-tenth, take away or destroy a tenth part, and loosely by extension to cause some significant damage to. But now we hear a lot of people, including, sad to say, some on your own network, using the word when they mean annihilate or destroy or wipe out completely.
Okay, well, Richard Lederer, what do you think of that?
Well, what I think of it is I love the fact that Mr. Quick loves etymology, but it takes us only so far, or September would be the 7th month and December the 10th month, and quarantine, to take some of these numerical ones, would still mean 40 days. It is true that decimate arises from the nasty habit of the Romans of slaughtering or maiming one out of every 10 captives or mutineers, but that's what it used to mean. But today it does mean to annihilate, to wipe out either the entirety or almost the entirety, and that is the way standard speakers and writers use it. So although etymology is fine, it doesn't fix the word exactly. The only caution is, because there still is that whiff of decimate meaning one out of 10, you should avoid decimate with any particular percentages. You wouldn't want to say it decimated 70%, because that would not be right. But Mr. Quick, decimate now means to annihilate, and the older meaning is lost in history.
It's still being used by some publications like The Economist.
Really?
Yes.
Mr. Quick, I mean, if I say the gypsy moth caterpillar, I was lucky, the gypsy moth caterpillars, they only decimated the trees in my backyard, which would be the way you'd like me to use it, people would think I was a nutcase. Okay, thank you.
Well, thanks, Mr. Quick. Thanks to John Quick of Berkeley. And now we're going to move on to Hilton Long from Coatesville, Pennsylvania. Actually, he's got a pretty interesting one. His peeve is about hone in versus home in. Mr. Long, why don't you tell me about this?
Well, I used to be a wood carver, and I used to sharpen tools. And I know that what you do when you sharpen tools is you hone them with an in. And homing is something that pigeons do, or cruise missiles.
Yes.
So it seems kind of like a dull thing to do, to hone in on something.
So, Richard, the correct thing would be, if you're trying to make a point or something, you'd say, the correct thing is to say, I'm homing in on this?
Yes, and Mr. Long is homing in on the problem, and you hear it all the time. You hear hone in rather than home in. Most of the time. So, Mr. Long, you are the sharpest tool in the toolkit, and you are absolutely right, and that is, we should home in like a homing pigeon or a homing device. But people do have trouble with that, and typically when you have these colliding pairs, one word naps the other. So the mistake is that people say hone in on something when it should be home. So I would certainly say, thanks to your call, that a number of people will home in on their speaking and writing skills now that they've heard your complaint.
Okay, thanks, Hilton Long.
Thank you very much.
That was Hilton Long from Coatesville, Pennsylvania. Our next listener is Farrer Hudkins, who is at member station WWNO in New Orleans. I love this one. Mr. Hudkins, tell us about your pet peeve.
Well, all my life I've been told that nauseous is an adjective used to describe something that causes nausea, as opposed to how you feel after you have eaten said item. So whenever I hear somebody say, I feel nauseous, it immediately rings false with me, and yet I've never heard anyone use it as I have been told to use it.
So what somebody's trying to say is, I'm sick to my stomach. I feel nauseated, not I feel nauseous. Is that right, Richard?
Well, pretty much so, Lisa. The situation here is when somebody says, I feel nauseous, you might say to them, or I'm nauseous, how honest of you to admit it. And it is that collision. The basic model is something that is poisonous makes you feel poisoned. And therefore, theoretically, something that is nauseous makes you feel nauseated. But as Mr. Hudkins pointed out, no one ever says the nauseous fumes made me sick. That would seem very odd. And that is because nauseous means both causing nausea and experiencing it. But I guess what I would suggest is if you don't want to make some grammar purist nauseated, that you use nauseated. So what you when you're sick to the stomach, you are nauseated rather than nauseous. So for the most part, I am with Mr. Hudkins on that one.
Okay, will that do it, Mr. Hudkins?
Yeah, that settles my stomach just fine.
Farrah Hudkins joined us from member station WWNO in New Orleans. Well, thanks to our listeners for writing in about their language pet peeves. And if you've got one, you can email us at watc@npr.org. Be sure to include your home and work phone numbers, and please tell us how to pronounce your name. We'll be compiling a list for next time when Richard Lederer can teach us more about the rights and wrongs and in-betweens of our language. Thanks, Richard. Talk to you next time.
Look forward to it.